Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor. Let's rock and roll. Ben, Malik Willis. I know we've been itching to talk some football, and we got spring coming up. It's still a week away. But it's a little bit of Auburn flavor. Malik Willis just signed a gigantic contract with the Miami Dolphins for $67.5 million over 3 seasons. He hasn't signed it yet. The deal becomes official tomorrow, but $45 million of it's fully guaranteed.
Yeah, as soon as they offered that, I would have been signing. Like, they were like, "We'll sign it Tuesday or Thursday." I'm like, "No, we're not. Send it over."
Well, they can't, apparently. Apparently, that you can't sign the contract until Wednesday, which is apparently the first day of the season,
I got you.
The next season. I don't know. It's weird. I'm sure there's some paperwork you can sign on the front end, you know.
I mean, surely
locking it in so it doesn't change.
That way it's locked in, so if somebody else comes to try to take him, or if they get feedback that Miami Dolphin fans aren't really big fans of Malik Willis and they can't, like, go back on the contract. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
offers out there, so they can't. Now, when it gets quote unquote signing day tomorrow, they can't just all of a sudden go, "I know we talked about 45 guaranteed, but we're gonna go with more like 20 guaranteed." So
before we jump into the real conversation, how do you feel about new head coach? You're Jeff Hafley, the new Miami Dolphins head coach, and you're essentially hitching your wagon to Malik Willis. Two is gone. You're rolling with Malik henceforth.
Yeah, and the thing is Tua's issue was staying on the field, but, I mean, Malik's had some injury issues too. Anytime you deal with a quarterback that's going to move outside the pocket, you're gonna risk injury, especially at that level. Man, I don't know. Nothing against Malik. I'm just saying you're right. You've got to hit your wagon to it, because $67 million, 45 guaranteed, he's the starting quarterback. Like, there's no – you're not bringing in a backup guy now to put behind him that probably is going to have an opportunity to see the field. So, I don't know, just with his time at Tennessee. And don't get me wrong, he had yeoman's work at Green Bay. I mean, you know,
yeah, they threw for almost 1,000 yards, yeah, I think.
And he had to fill in for Love that got hurt. So I get it. I think that contract's probably more recency bias than anything else. And I'm not saying that as a knock on Malik Willis. I'm just saying, when you start talking about guaranteed $45 million quarterbacks, I don't know that name comes up in conversation as others probably would before him. That makes sense? Not to mention.
Sure. It looks like he started – 2 games last year, or at least played some last year. Anyway, he had a pretty good game against Baltimore.
Yeah, he played a lot last year because Love couldn't stay on the dang field. So
18 of 21 for 288. That was your contract game right there. That's 18 of 21 for 288, 85% completion percentage, and then 60 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah,
this is not the Malik Willis show. It's really just sort of the intro topic into quarterback development.
Yeah,
at Auburn, obviously, Hugh Freeze gets the majority of the credit. There is an Auburn connection there. He didn't do much here. Made his bread at Liberty. So I guess the question, it's really maybe a two-parter. When do you get to take credit for the development of a guy? And then I guess the second part is more so – let's just start with the first part.
Okay.
Obviously, Hugh tweeted out essentially, you know, planting my flag, like, "That's my guy.
I'm going to stand with my guys.
That's my guy thing."
Success in the pros. I'm with my guy.
And he did get him drafted, so that is a thing, but – it's not until his fifth year where he's really seeing some, you know, substantial playing time. So I guess, like, when do you get to claim it as a coach?
I mean, he can claim it, but as far as actual what we've seen development-wise, you and I talked a little bit before we, you know, before we sat down, and, you know, I told you, I was like, yeah, he played under you. Yes, he made it to the pros. Yes, you got him drafted, which I don't know if people remember that campaign. Like, Hugh was there at draft day and was making the rounds with him. Like, they were doing a good job of selling it, even though it was Liberty. They were doing a good job of selling it. But development-wise, I mean, Kyle, I don't know that he developed until he got, like, into the pros and spent some time at a, you know, under center at Tennessee. And honestly, this past 2 years being at Green Bay is when he probably made the biggest jump. So for Hugh to claim, that's my guy, I developed him. No, you got him drafted. I don't know.
Which is big.
It is, but I don't know that you developed him. Like, I don't know. Let me just say this. If Malik Willis goes to school anywhere else but Liberty, I think he still gets drafted, and he's probably still in the same spot that he's at right now in the pros. So I don't think his success and his contract, even though Hugh put that out there, is saying that's my guy, I don't know that Hugh got him there, if that makes sense. Development-wise, he did get him there draft-wise. And as I said, great campaign as far as Hugh shaking hands and kissing babies and showing up, you know, for the draft that year and making a big pitch talking about, you know, hey, we're Liberty. Y'all just don't give him a look like you should. You should give him more of a look. And he played his cards right on that. But, you know, as far as what he's doing in the pros, I don't think you can look at his college career and say he's doing in the pros what he did in college. I don't think.
Let me ask you this. Does it even matter?
It doesn't.
Because once your guy goes in the draft, like, does it matter what happens after that? Like,
no, get drafted. You get drafted. Your coaches have done their job. They got you in the pros. So now it's on you. Now you got to, quote unquote, as you hear so many veterans say, now you got to be a professional. Like, now the work is on you. The development's on you. The film study's on you. Your college coach did their job and got you to the next level.
I agree with that. And one of the reasons that I bring that up is because I feel like Alex Golish has done a phenomenal job with quarterbacks. Haven't yet necessarily gotten to see one on the next level compete, but you've put up a ton of numbers. You know, you do have, I guess you can kind of claim some of Dylan Gabriel, because you did throw for a ton of yards in that COVID year when
he was called.
Yeah.
He got him there, though.
Yeah, but he went to a couple other places. Like, he went to Oklahoma, and he went to Oregon. So, like, who gets to claim him? You know, everybody gets a piece. Does Gus get a piece of Malik Willis? Like, everybody, I guess you kind of get that. Hendon Hooker, you know, he was phenomenal, but I don't think he really ever did much.
No.
Is he even still in the NFL? He's with the Carolina Panthers right now, maybe?
Practice squad?
I don't know that he's played yet. So, but he was phenomenal in college. And then now you obviously have Byron Brown, who you've put up some really, really gaudy numbers. Is it more of a timing thing, a system thing? Like, what do you think? I mean, six years is not that long. As far as the 6 year time frame, I'm talking about like when he started calling plays.
Yeah.
It's not that long of a time, I guess, to really cultivate a lot of NFL quarterback, like NFL potential quarterbacks. Byron Brown may be your first legit one that you could point to that says, "Hey, this is my guy that I got to the NFL."
If he gets in there, Golish should be able to hang his hat on that, because, I mean, he's been down at South Florida for 3 years.
Oh, he'll get there.
And so, I think so too. I mean, I told you, I mean, I think he's going to be one of the pleasant surprises in college football, because now he's doing it on the stage of Auburn rather than the stage of South Florida, where you get paid to go in and play teams. Now Auburn's going to be paying teams to come in and play him. So I think that's a whole different ball. Regardless of, you know, people say Auburn's been relevant or not. He's going to have a better opportunity on a bigger stage at Auburn than he ever had down in South Florida. And South Florida people listening to this because they still hate Auburn for some reason and hate Golish. They're going to be mad at me for saying that. But he's going to get him there. And when he gets him there, regardless if you want to talk about development or what, Alex Golish and his staff has done their job. They put him in the pros. So, yes, I think you can hang your hat on that and you can say, you can put on your resume as a coach, this is who I've gotten to the next level.
Hendon Hooker was drafted in the third round. He was the 68th overall pick. So that's not bad.
No, that's not. I mean, for a quarterback, I mean that, yeah.
He played for the Giants.
Yes.
He played for the Lions. He got drafted by the Lions, played there for two seasons, played for the Panthers last year. And now he's at the Jets. So Hendon Hooker was a Virginia Tech transfer, and you made him into a draft pick.
You got him into a third round draft pick. And so if Brown goes first, second, or third round, I consider that a success story.
Yeah,
because you've put him there. Now it's up to him to do his job in order to keep. Now, in my opinion, after seeing him. Basically, you know, not like up close, like face to face. He's a big kid, dude.
He's very big.
Like I don't think television did him justice. You know what I mean? Like being near him and seeing him without pads standing next to.
I think it's the color green. The color green. He just blends into the grass.
Very slimming.
Is that green super. And especially black when they wore those all blacks. Black is slimming in and of itself. He's going to look
more black and green then. Maybe that's.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to look good in that. He's going to look good in that Auburn uniform for sure.
He's a super freak that has all the tangibles to be able to get to the next level and do something. You know, whether that's sit for a couple of years behind somebody and learn the system. And I mean, God, let's call it what it is. I mean, when those guys, I think it's unfair now compared to the way it used to be. Now guys are expected to come out of college and play right away in the NFL.
Whereas, it's because of that rookie. Man, if you can hit on a rookie contract, you can build a team, man, because you don't have to sink all your money. I mean, you don't have to pay a Malik Willis 20-something million dollars a year. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to do that if you can hit on a rookie. That's why they try to put so much pressure on landing, you know. That's why they're still, you know, how many quarterbacks were drafted in the first round last year? And I felt like last year was kind of a, you know, last year was an okay quarterback class. This year's not as good, but they're still probably going to be, somebody will take a couple early, and then everybody start freaking out and having to take quarterbacks. They just draft quarterbacks, man. They just draft a bunch because they're trying to hit on that rookie contract.
Yeah, well, rookie contract, you just don't know what guys are just going to pick it up and take it to the next level. I mean, you know, you see guys that, you know, take a Matt Ryan, for instance, when he was at Atlanta. I mean, you know, being a Boston College guy, he's not a guy that just – wowed you. We weren't all talking about Boston College back when he was in school. And then he got to Atlanta and people say, well, and I'm like, he still had a great career. I mean, Matt Ryan had, he had a great career. And so, you know, if you hit on those, that's why they take quarterbacks. I mean, the one, the rookie contract, because you don't have to pay, like you just said, guaranteed 45, you know, 20 plus a year with a guaranteed 45. And you may stumble into a guy that, I mean, you saw the Browns do it. People criticized them, but taking Shadur as well as Gabriel, you know, in the same class, and people were like, why are they doing that? I was like, bro, if one of them hits, that is you have set your future up with a good quarterback if one hits. Now,
yeah,
you know, that's not the best example because the Browns have had, what, 25 quarterbacks in 16 years? I mean, it's
Dylan really Gabriel. You just mentioned Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah.
Alex Cole's quarterback.
Exactly. See? He got him. He got him his job, and he played. He started this past year a couple of times. So, long story short, what you and I are talking about and quarterback development. You know, when I look at quarterback developers and what they always say, Sark. And I'm like, you and I had this discussion on a previous pod. I think that Manning is going to the next level, whether he's playing for Sark or whether he's playing for Alex Golish or if he's playing for any, because of his last name. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think there's a ton of potential, but people want to act like
Sark. You haven't been that good under Sark.
And that's the thing. Sorry, everybody talks about Sark being the quarterback guru, and I'm like, dude, he was a Heisman candidate to start the year. And
they were talking about benching him after the first game.
Yeah. I mean, let's not, you know, same Lincoln Riley, same deal. I mean, yes, he had a couple at Oklahoma that made it to the next level, but I think those guys make it to the next level if Riley's not the coach.
What you're talking about is recruiting.
Yes.
High level players over like taking a ball of clay, like a 3-star or somebody, and developing them above what their talent level is.
And that's the thing. What I'm talking about is getting them at least to the next level and not. You and I did a pod on this. Jeremy Johnson, all world going into college and regressed unbelievably. Mm-hmm. I mean, you ask any high school coach or any college coach that was recruiting him after his senior year in Montgomery, they're like, that guy's the next Michael Vick. Like, he's going to be at the next level. And then you throw the Arkansas game out there, and it's like, that's what we've been telling y'all. Look at what happened. And then all of a sudden, it went backwards. And so I don't know how much of that's on him, how much of that's on coaching, combination of the both. Who knows? But, you know, somebody – like give Riley credit and give Sark credit where they talent evaluators, great. They get them in, they get them drafted. Are they all world? I don't know. Caleb, you mentioned Caleb Williams. He could be. He could be that difference maker in Chicago. But give Golish his flowers. If he puts Brown in the league, which he's gonna do, he's had him for 3 years. I mean, he's done his job. You get him to sign a contract, and if he keeps his head down, does what he's supposed to do in the pros, he could be the next $70 million guy like Malik Willis is. And then we're going to be saying, you know, and then we're going to be saying, is this on Golish or is this on his development in the pro? Who cares? He got him there.
So let me ask you this. What fans, this is like a fan thing. This is what fans typically say when they're talking about Auburn. Like, you can't – Auburn's just had a bad string of luck at quarterback. Like, period. And do you think that, you know, Hugh had a lot of success with quarterbacks? You can point to a lot. We just talked about Malik Willis. He threw for 2,800 yards at Liberty, ran for almost 1,000. And then you point to all his other quarterbacks at Ole Miss that were really good. Yeah. And then he gets to Auburn and he can't, you know, can't get it done. You have all these offensive coordinators that come in under Gus that are great, and then Gus has even had some quarterbacks that he's had a lot of luck with, and then, you know, we have the struggles that we have at quarterback there. There's a lot of skepticism that it's an Auburn thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just Auburn in general. We've only had 2-3,000 yard passers ever. There is a – I think it was it Terry Bowden that said Auburn would rather go what was it? What did he say? Auburn would rather go 7-3. I think you're playing 10 games at this point in time. 7-3 or 7-4 and run the ball for, you know, 40 times a game than go 9-3 and throw the ball for 3,000 yards. There does seem to be – does that play into it, I guess?
I think
it feels like goal – like it feels like you're going to see that 3,000-yard if Byram's healthy – feels like you're going to bust that ceiling because that's just kind of his thing. That's how his offense operates. Feels like you're going to get there.
I think it's all system because, I mean, you know, Terry said that, and then you got Tubbs that comes in and he brings in Borges. And, you know, with Tubbs being a defensive-minded coach, Tubbs was like, hey, I'm just turning the reins over to Al Borges. And you know, Jason Campbell could have been the success that Campbell had when he went to the pros and Borges and Tubbs getting him there. And Jason gives Borges a lot of credit on this because Jason Campbell went through 4 coordinators in 4 years at Auburn.
Yeah, it was bad.
And he said that his last year was where he learned the most out of Borges whenever he and that's what got him drafted.
But still, he only threw for 2,700 yards.
That's what I'm saying is he also had Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams in the backfield. Like, what are you expecting to do? Like, and I think if a quarterback will buy into the system to say, hey, if this guy can get me to the next level, I'm going to go there, because we're going to have a host of running backs in the room this year, Kyle. I mean, they're going to be stupid not to run the ball. But
I don't think Golish is not going to run the ball either. I think he wants to run it. I just think they throw the ball. They run more plays.
Yes, in general. They run way more plays. And I think that was, you know, and that was kind of Gus, what he was hanging his hat on. We got to get X amount of snaps every game. That's what we want to do. And, you know,
it didn't yield.
It did not.
A lot of passing yards.
Quarterback is what he needed, Gus needed.
Which that opens up a whole nother conversation. But
I think Brown has the option to be able to do that, but I think he still wants to throw the ball. I think Brown wants to throw and I think Golish wants him to throw.
He's thrown for 3,000 yards twice.
See?
He threw for 3,000 yards as a redshirt freshman. Got injured his sophomore year and threw for 3,000 last year. So,
and see, that's what everybody, when they see the highlights, yeah, you see a couple of passes downfield, but the rest, you see like some of those runs he reeled off. And I'm like, well, he's able to have those runs because he's got guys running open like down the field. Like the secondary is having to drop back because he's a decent thrower of the football.
And they're spread so wide.
Yeah. And so it's opening lanes for him. So, yeah, you see a 60-yard run because it was there. Like, everybody had retreated downfield, and he had 30 yards to go before anybody was going to touch him. So yeah. I'm not going to go ahead and say that, you know, Alex Golish and Brown are going to be all world, but clearly at South Florida, 3,000 one year hurt, then 3,000 another year. Like, Auburn fans should be excited at what they probably will see when fall rolls around, because
I want to see a 3,000-yard passer so bad.
I know you do. You were.
It took Jarrett Stidham into the bowl game to eclipse the 3,000-yard mark. So, like, and so that's like how many games? 14 games.
And without a fumble, he wins a playoff game this past year and probably goes to the Super Bowl.
I'm just saying, even that 3,000 yards feels a little tainted. Damian Craig's the real one. He's the real one. He threw for three, and they only played like 12 games, I think.
Yeah, 10 regular season and in a bowl game. That was it. Maybe in 11 games.
Let me look at that. Damian Craig, I bet he did
11 games.
He did get the play in the SEC championship, so that counts too.
There's 12. There's your 12 right there.
Hold on. Let me go hit little game log, see if it'll let me. Let's see, 1997 game logs. They played in 13 games.
Okay.
So, Jarrett Stidham played in one more game, I think.
Yeah, that's cheating. He cheated.
Played 12. Yeah, one more game because you played in the SEC championship. You played 12 regular season games.
Yeah.
The SEC championship and a bowl game. So, that's 14 games versus – versus Damian, who only played in 13. So, man, we got to get over this. We got to start busting this ceiling.
Here's the thing, that big picture, Kyle. What's in store? Is it transfer? Is it what's going to be behind Brown this year? Like, everybody keeps talking about this year. My question is, what does Golish do next year?
That's a whole show, man. I talked about it on my Monday show. I think that quarterback two battle is going to be bigger for the future than people want to talk about.
No, yeah, I mean, definitely not.
Not only are you trying to win the backup job, but you're trying to prove, hey, you don't have to go to the portal again.
Yeah, exactly.
And get another quarterback. You, I mean, can roll with me.
That's the first thing when we signed those guys, when they committed and they came here. That's the first thing I thought. Is I thought, we already know who QB1 is. But we also know QB1 is only here for this year. Yeah. And so I thought that was going to be huge. And that's and everybody wants to talk about, what is Brown going to do in spring? What is Brown going to do? And I'm like, we need to be looking to these backup guys, because for the future of the program, nothing is Brown. I'm excited to see him play. I can't wait to see it. But with his experience he has already, I'm not real concerned with Brown as much as I am what happens in 2027.
I'm not even super concerned about that, because if they're not good, you just go get another one.
Yeah, that's actually the joy of the portal. Like,
yeah,
when people bash the portal, look.
And if Brown's good, they're going to be lining up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They'll be lining up to come play. Good stuff, Ben. We'll talk with you guys again tomorrow. Let us know what you think. We're putting this up on members only videos on YouTube as well now, so you can comment below and let us know what you think, and then also posting it on the Barn message board. So catch us there as well. Guys, thanks for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.